on right now. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye, everybody.
Hear the drones above your head. What were the last words that she said before she joined the thousands dead as the bombs rained down? See the fire in the sky. Hear all of the children cry. The tower falls from way up high as the bombs rain down. See the dust rise everywhere. Once it was a building there. Then it crashed down from the air as the bombs rain down.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m.
You are tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
From applicant tracking systems to chatbots to facial recognition, artificial intelligence is transforming our world for the better and also for the worse. Tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. starting November 2nd for The Imaginary Possible, a show that looks at the captivating potentials and the troubling realities of artificial intelligence today. Only on KBOO Community Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.
Brr, it's cold in here. I need a sweater, but one that expresses my values. I know, my limited KBOO Sound of Democracy crew neck. And you can find it at kboo.fm/sodshirt on the sidebar of the homepage. But there's so many colors. How will I pick? Gray? Red? I know. What about oregano?
Support for this program comes from KBOO members and Fat Cupcake, with locations in Oregon City, Happy Valley, and a new location in Southeast Portland. Information at fatcupcake.com.
KBOO.
Welcome to Negotiating Dramatic Events with Grace Growing Medicine Reed, the show that explores our experiences, our strengths, hopes, and fears as we strive to meet the needs of others as well as our own. And now, Grace Growing Medicine Reed.
Hi, my name is Grace Growing Medicine, and you're listening to KBOO.FM 90.7 FM. KBOO is located in Portland, Oregon, but it does stream all over the world now. My show is Negotiating Dramatic Events. My show is on the third Wednesday of every month. Thanks for tuning in and listening to this show. I have exciting guests today, and my guests today are my dear friends, Donna and Stan Corbett from Cutler, Maine. Hi, Donna and Stan. How are you?
Hi, Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Thanks for having us.
You're doing well.
Thank you. And we worked together in, Stan and I worked together in Fairbanks, Alaska. Stan is a Montessori teacher for children. And Donna is a nurse, and she lived in, what was the island that you lived on?
On Alaska.
Alaska?
On Alaska.
On Alaska.
Yeah,
that's right. And I actually got to go down there, and you're a nurse, and you were practicing there. Right. And you were in Anchorage as well. So, and I helped get Donna and Stan together. Yay. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about a very exciting book that Donna and Stan came across. And I have the good pleasure of, thanks, Donna, for sending me the book. And its title is Soul Boom: Why We Need a Spiritual Revolution by Rainn Wilson. And for those of you who don't know Rainn Wilson, he was Dwight in The Office, the TV show of The Office, and he's got a very good sense of humor. But he wrote this book, and he also used to be Soul Pancake, and I was a member of his Soul Pancake group. And Rainn has always been, he's a world peace person, and he's always been very interested in world peace. And I'm going to read actually praises for Soul Boom, and this is on the back of the of his book, serving up a delicious smorgasbord of existential philosophy, self-reflection, social science, and Star Trek. Rainn Wilson explores the missing role of spirituality in the modern world. It will light up your brain, warm your heart, and tickle your funny bone. This is by Adam Grant, New York Times bestselling author, Think Again, and the host of the TED podcast, Rethinking. He got some very good reviews. Don't you guys agree?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then his second review on the back here, and I'll read these, because it's hard to talk about spirituality. People don't understand that spirituality and religion are actually two different things in a way. You don't have to be religious to be spiritual, but I believe that we're born spiritual. We're spiritual beings having a human awakening. Mm-hmm. And we're all seeking kindness, and we're seeking world peace. I don't know of very many people that don't want world peace. So this is basically what we're bringing to the show today, which is a very important theme considering what's going on, the chaos right now that's going on in the world. Not that the world has never been without chaos, but, you know, yet another chaos, right? Mm-hmm. And his second review is, this is the insightful exploration of spirituality that we desperately need right now. As we all seek answers amidst an unceasing news cycle of chaos and doom, Rainn Wilson's Soul Boom, funny but gently and lovingly, opens a door to a deeper way to process all that is happening around us. The wisdom in and on these pages will fill your soul and touch your heart. That review was by Lisa Ling, co-author of Somewhere Inside and host of This Is Life. And then his third review, an electrifying manifesto on how to transform the world from the inside out. Let Soul Boom ignite and inspire you. Valerie Carr, activist and author of See No Strangers. So those are great reviews about the book, and that's why we wanted to talk about it on this show. Again, thank you for sending the book. And we, you guys started a book study.
Right, right. And, yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, one of the things that Rainn says in his preface, the reason he wrote the book is he wanted to start conversations. He wanted to start talking about these subjects and how to improve the world. And as the whole time I was reading the book, I was like, oh, it'd be great to do this as a book club where we read the book rather than reading the book ahead of time and then getting together and talking about the book. Read the book and discuss it as you go, because there's a lot in here that's very deep, but very lightly said, but very deep. And at times he's very deep. He can go, what's nice is he sprinkles his humor in so it doesn't, you don't get bogged down in the deepness. But he'll bring the humor in to lighten it up for a little bit before he gets deep again. And I thought, you know, it'd be great to do it with a multi-generational, multicultural, if we had it. We're in an area where we don't have multicultural, is not possible, but we do have multi-generational, and it's been a very interesting exchange on some subjects. We haven't gotten very far. We're on our third one, but we have a 23-year-old just out of college to a 94-year-old. She's one of the most active. She's an amazing, amazing 94-year-old. Mm-hmm. Most of us are mid-range, you know, in our 50s, 60s, 70s.
And I'm 80.
And you're 80. And it's made for a very, very wonderful, deep, you know, discussion on these subjects. He brings up, one of the first things he talks about is how we all, like you say, you know, we all want the world to be a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the way we need to go about getting there is we need to work on ourselves and become more spiritual, if you will, develop our inner selves,
yes,
be kinder to others, love others better,
yes,
get rid of our, and the need to rid ourselves of what makes us look at people as others. You know,
right. You need to form of racism, right?
Right. And in he talks about, he has a chapter where he just talks about, well, he mentions the pandemic we just went through, and then he says, you know, in reality, we are full of pandemics right now, different kinds of pandemics. And he talks about racism, and he talks about sexism, mm-hmm. and materialism, mm-hmm. and you know, all these nationalism and things that are divisive, mm-hmm. and then goes into a wonderful way of looking at all of those, and then coming up, you know, at the end with some really amazing potential solutions to those things. And basically how we need to work on becoming one and realizing that we're really we're on one planet, we're one people that have made the divisions ourselves. Yes. And we have to overcome those.
Yes.
And he has some amazing quotes when he talks about that, because, you know, he uses quotes from you know, his comment about otherness. He says, by healing the spiritual disease of otherness, as well as making broken systems more just and fair, we can eventually envision and create a big, diverse human family most of us long for.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, and he quotes, let's see if I can find it. You know, Einstein, in saying that we're all, let me find it, I'm sorry.
We're a bunch of atoms swirling around each other, aren't we?
Right. Yes.
Well, Donnie, it isn't Einstein, but I can share that he also says that he quotes, oh, you have Einstein.
Yeah. At the end of the book, he quotes Albert Einstein saying, the greatest illusion in this world is the illusion of separateness. Mm. Separation.
Yes.
And, you know, it's big and how we really need to come together. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But
And it creates all these broken systems and cables. Right.
Yeah.
KBOO talks about this. I mean, this is pretty much what the KBOO station is about, is identifying broken down systems that don't serve broken people. So it's a good book for KBOO for sure. Stan, you had a comment, I think.
It's a comment. It goes with what we're just talking about. It's under the title of The Broken Blue Marble. And he quotes Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And he says, we are watching the birth more than the death of a world.
Uh-huh.
And then Rain says, one of the most seminal and transformative events in human history was the taking of a photograph. And it happened almost by accident. The famous photo is called The Blue Marble. And it was taken by one of the astronauts on Apollo 17. It was snapped in December 1972 during NASA's last manned lunar landing. One of the three astronauts, spontaneously inspired by all that beauty, pointed that Hasselblad camera out to the window and snatched the first image of the entirety of Earth, illumined completely by sunlight, surrounded by the dark, starlit immensity of space. It was the first photograph that showed us our true home.
Yes.
All was revealed. We are floating in outer space on a beautiful, round, cloudy, vibrant miracle. Alone in the black vastness.
And that's so poetic. So poetic. Yeah, I love his sense of humor. Well, yeah, so I joined this book club, and we meet most Saturdays at various times. So yay, Zoom. I get to Cutler Main's book club and my dear friends Don and Stan. Rain identifies as a Baha'i. And he identifies as an AA member, and I certainly wouldn't say either of those things unless he himself identified as such. And of course, Baha'is are well known for being unity, oneness, and world peace people. So, so it's something, but it's something for everybody.
Right.
Again, he says why we need a spiritual revolution. And when you heard the introductions in the back, it's something that everybody is, again, I don't know very many people don't want world peace. And so this book really addresses that. And I love his sense of humor in here. Mm-hmm. The way he writes.
Yes.
In fact, our next chat and our next reading, when you guys have our next book club thing, is plethora of pandemics. And I think that's what you were referring to.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, Stan and I are also Baha'is, just so people know. yes, he has a wonderful way of describing these pandemics and coming up with, you know, his own view and his own feeling about what needs to happen and those types of things, which is, he talks, I'm just looking at something right now towards the end of the book, where he talks about how our need to overcome ourselves and our egos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he talks about going on with what Stan just read, the big blue marble. He said, this, along with the big blue marble photo phenomena, has led over the last 50 years to an understanding of what many would term planetary consciousness. We are all related. We need each other, depend on each other, affect each other. Tribalism must move toward community, a global community. We are one human family, regardless of race or nation or class, sharing a rock in space. And as the Lakota say, all my relations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is, and as you know from your native background, that's...
Yes, and I was adopted by the Lakota people, and that's something, right. Tungashala. Oh, all right. My relations.
Right, right.
Yeah. And and that's just something that I am particularly obsessed with, is finding ways to be kinder, finding ways to get messages like this out. And as a KBOO broadcaster, this is a good opportunity to get this very important book out to people, because we need it. We need this. I have a little poster that I have hanging around here somewhere, and it's, you think of yourselves as people seeking you think of yourself as seekers for a spiritual enlightenment, when in fact you are born spiritual, having a human existence, and seeing yourself from that perspective changes things.
Right.
Instead of just seeking through the various religions, through the various paths, through politics, through whatever. People seek in many, many ways a way to be happy, happy, joyous, yeah. Free. You know, people don't want to be miserable. Most people don't anyway.
Yes. Yeah. And, that was a concept that when the first time I heard it, when I was in my 30s, I'd been a Baha'i for a long time. But the first time I heard that, I was like, you know, that you're a spiritual person having a human experience. I was like, I didn't understand it, didn't agree with it. I was like, that's crazy. But as I get older, you know, you realize, yeah, that's what we are. You know, we are spiritual. We're going after this life. We do go to the, you know, I do firmly believe we go to the next life. Our souls go,
right.
Continue on in their development.
Yeah, so the Native Americans do too. Stan, I know you have a Native American background, which I just recently found out. I didn't know that.
You found out from being at the soul boom.
Yes. You identified as a tribe.
My cousin was there, Delia, who, we, our background is Passamaquoddy. There is Passamaquoddy in our ancestry, and we descend from them. So she is really close to it. I've been around the world traveling different places, so I've gotten involved with the indigenous peoples of many peoples in the world.
Yes, me too.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And we met, you all in Fairbanks, so it was, I shared the Hopi prophecy, and so did that, so did our other, remember somebody who shared the Hopi prophecy? What was his name?
Oh, was that Lee Brown?
Lee Brown.
He came to Fairbanks and that was filmed there, yes.
And he's a very famous Navajo Hopi, actually, speaker. And he's also Baha'i, and he traveled all over the world and shared the Hopi prophecy. And I did too. I was invited to Europe to share the Hopi prophecy, and it talks about world peace.
Mm-hmm.
So this message comes through many, many different people and again, movements and, you know. So how world peace, when I was a kid, I went, yes, of course, we're going to have world peace by the time I'm 80. I'm so disappointed that we don't have world peace by the time I'm 80. Yes. So why does it take so long, do you think? What's going on there?
Well, it's a process, and Rain talks about it a little bit. You know, it's not going to happen, I don't feel. It's going to happen on a grandiose governmental, eventually it will. But it's going to be forced by the grassroots who say, we're done with all this.
Uh-huh.
We don't want this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, you have to change hearts. And that takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We can make the changes. We ourselves can be more kind. We process now and, you know, and do things that help it to happen. But do we expect world peace in our time? No, it's not going to happen that fast. Things that have to be overcome are too big, but we can make a difference in our own communities and help build our communities to be loving and caring communities within themselves, and that expands out. It has a ripple effect, like drops of water on the, you know. And I know one of the things that you were mentioning, there was a wonderful statement that the Universal House of Justice, which is our international governing body in the Baha'i faith, put out in 1985. It applies today as it did then, but that's the promise of world peace.
Yes.
About the world peace and its need and ways to what we need to do to have it happen. And it's an amazing document.
It's an amazing document. I remember reading that document many, many years ago, and it was something that gave me a tremendous amount of hope, and it's doable. World peace, people have had it up to here with, you know, especially with this latest stuff. People have had it up to here with this ridiculous, ruinous wars. And I wrote a book, as you guys know. I know you've read my book, Negotiating Shadows.
Yeah,
and I talk about. Pretty much my parents coming through World War I, World War II, and the fear, and Hopi prophecy talks about the fear of having a third world war. And of course, anytime the current stuff that's happening right now, this is October 19, 2023.
Yeah.
It's very frightening to think about World War III. Oh my God, when are we going to stop already? You know, as you just said. Yeah. And I think that's the reason I love this book too, because it really does address that.
It does.
And it gives practical, just like the promise of world peace, it gives practical, doable information on how you can absorb that, get hope. If we're very overly anxious, that's all we're going to share.
Yeah. Right.
It's over anxiety, you know.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know. So I like to stay nice. And I also know that this is also scientific. But I know we all have a lower nature, which is a materialistic nature, which is called the darker side of ourselves. And then we have a spiritual nature. So we have a darker side and a light side. Explain that a little bit more. And I know Brain goes through that too a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking of one of the remedies, a great remedy for having world peace, to get to world peace, is in the Baha'i faith, we have a person known as Abdul Baha. He's a special man and a special human being, and he represented the teachings of Baha'u'llah too. When he came to America in 1912, and one of the things he said is, so long as these prejudices, such as religious, racial, national, political survive, there will be continuous and fearsome wars. Prejudice. Mm-hmm. To remedy this condition, there must be universal peace.
Mm-hmm.
To bring about this, a supreme tribunal must be established, representative of all governments and peoples. Questions both national and international must be referred thereto, and all must carry out the decrees of this tribunal. Should any government or people disobey, let the whole world arise against that government or people.
There are little glimpses of that starting to happen now.
Yes.
The whole UN was a start, and this is that. Well, Rainoff always also says, and again, it's at the very end of his book, and it's a beautiful concept. He's talking about the world, and it says, you realize that you yourself are like a single wave on a much larger sea. And like a wave on the ocean, you are one small part of a much grander, more mysterious, powerful, and beautiful totality. As we rise from the individual to the whole, our fate can ultimately be a hopeful one. We know that the indefinable creative force that courses through every star and every cell is there to guide us. This is the transformation that humanity is inevitably moving toward. A profound understanding that we are all linked, more than linked. In fact, we were never separated in the first place. We are interconnected like cells in a single body, alive only in relation to one another. And then he quotes from Rumi, love is the whole thing. We are only pieces. And that's when you go through, he talks about it quite a bit, and I think all faiths, all philosophers, all, you know, talk about love. And, you know, people have out of body, near death experiences all talk about when they come back, the love that they feel. And we just need to harness that and somehow in ourselves and be more loving, more kind, more compassionate to one another and open up and be more understanding, which is nice words, it's hard to do.
Exactly. And I am an addict. I'm 44 years as a recovered addict, alcoholic addict, and I have done shows about this before, and in the organization that I'm involved with, we talk about building ourselves, fitting ourselves to be to have a spiritual experience. In other words, coming from our dark, materialistic, egocentric, selfish, self-centered self, based on fear-based thinking. In other words, fear-based thinking will produce egocentric, selfish, self-centered, fear-driven people. And of course, that's who I was when I was an addict. I didn't manage for anything other than, you know, just making sure I had enough stuff to make me feel good. It was kind of the wrong way of doing it, but nevertheless. And Rain is also talks about that. And in Soul Pancake, he identified as a person that follows that, and he's got quite a few years of sobriety too. And so I came from my dark side, and then there's a transition time when you come to the middle between dark and what I call the light and love space. So coming from my darker nature, my materialistic, ego-driven, fearful, self-centered self, through my heart, to my head, and then to the heart. And that's, so when I transcended from the dark person that I had become, and then I had the grace of having a transitional time into what I call the light and love space. So I came from my darkness into my head to make a choice. Do I want to stay fear-based thinking, so on, or do I want to just let go and just do what we're talking about? Just let go and get into a sense of freedom. You will be happy, joyous, and free. I was thinking about the promises.
Right.
Not regret the past. You will not wish to shut the door on it. You will be a happy and joyful being.
Yes.
And, you know, and that I am today. I mean, I have, you know, I've identified this. I'm 80. I have MS. It's kicking some major butt right now, too. But I'm never not happy in spite of the yeah. physical stuff, because I have learned that happy, joyous, and free is my actual real self. So I'm very grateful for any message that gives that kind of hope.
Right.
You know, there's this is going to fit with what you're talking about, Grace. And it, first of all, it's knowing who you are, recognizing who you are. You're a spiritual being, and you're on a spiritual path to it. And once you know that, you need to be able to help encourage other people to go on that path as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is a quote from, again, from Abu Baha. He says, "And the honor and distinction of the individual consists in this, that he among all the world's multitudes should become a source of social good. Is any larger bounty conceivable than this, that an individual looking within himself should find that by the confirming grace of God, he has become the cause of peace and well-being, of happiness and advantage to his fellow men? No. By the one true God, there is no greater bliss, no more complete delight." That's getting to know yourself, really getting to know yourself and finding what is your mature self, how you can help the world. You come from the individual, you go into the society to help out too and be a part of that. The greatness and the goodness of that.
It's quite a process, isn't it, to come from immaturity to maturity. And again, it comes to your head, and so you think, and you plan, and you get educated, and you do what you can to share. Most people are kind, and most people are trying to give stuff, and most people are kind. I don't know very many people that are downright